to the walkthrough for problem set six. Problem set six is called misspellings. Yes, it's spelled wrong in the name of the program, of the problem set. How'd you guys like PSET 5? It was great, right? So PSET 6, I hate to tell you, is considered the most difficult of the C problem sets, but it's difficult in a different way than File.io, than PSET 5. So File.io was something you hadn't really seen before, and that was sort of why it was difficult, because all the commands were really foreign to you. This, on the other hand, is something that you've definitely seen before, and it's all about pointers. I promise you, after misspellings, you will understand pointers. You may be tempted to what you shouldn't do anyway and sort of not do this problem set and have it be the one that gets dropped, but I would really advise against it. I think it's really important to struggle through it because pointers are a huge part of the class and they will appear on quiz one. And if you haven't done this problem set, you won't understand the majority of the concepts on quiz one. So I would warn against that, that being the first note. So if you were thinking that, please do try to struggle through it because you will understand pointers much better and do much better on the quiz as a result. So what we have to do in PSET 6, we have our agenda right here. We do have distribution code, and then we have to implement four functions for our dictionary to work. Those are load, size, check, and unload, and we'll get to those as we go. And we're going to look at hash tables and tries as two alternative ways of implementing this. So the goal of the problem set is to create a dictionary. You have a dictionary, and you have text files. So you have text files like War and Peace, for example. You also have Austin Powers, I think, the script. So you have these texts, and you want to create a spell checker that checks every word in these texts to see if it's properly spelled. And the way you check that is by looking the word up in the dictionary. So you have the dictionary, but you don't really have it loaded into your memory. So that's what the first function does. So load is going to load in the dictionary that you're given. So you're given a dictionary as just a text file with words separated by new line characters, and you want to load in each of these words into memory. And that's where we're going to have to choose if we're going to use a hash table or a try. And these are two data structures that you should have been covering in lecture and section, and if you haven't, you might see it in section this week. Then you are going to have to implement size, which is actually really simple, and you'll see, and that's just the size of your dictionary. And then check is what actually goes to the word and looks it up in the dictionary word by word in your file and checks to see if it's misspelled. And then you have unload, which is because every time that you allocate memory for something using malloc, you have to free that memory. So you'll see as we load in our dictionary, we're going to be allocating a lot of memory that we're going to have to free in unload. So the crux of this problem set is in load and check. So those are the two big functions, if you were curious as to which ones would take up the most of your time. I do have to tell you that we have some technical difficulties in that we don't have the cord that connects my laptop to the projector. So I do have slides that are going to be really helpful, but you're going to have to look at them on the website. So I'll put the slides up on the website. So just make sure that they should be up by tonight, tomorrow. As soon as possible. So just make sure to go look at the website for more. This is a hard problem set. It's your last C problem set, which some of you might be really happy about. PHP is really cool, and that's coming up. Some of you might be really excited, but that's why it's also hard. But on the other hand, that's also why I'm going to give you a lot of really, really explicit pseudocode. So I'm really trying to help you through this one, but you should look at the slides for that because I can't write pseudocode all over the board. It'll take us a lot of time. And that's why I had a great diagram on my slides, but now we're resorting to this sort of diagram, so you'll forgive me for that. So let's dive in. First of all, the distribution code. Again, I would go through this with you actually in Terminal, but we're SSHing to cloud this time. It's cloud.cs50.net as opposed to NICE. So this is really cool. The course actually has its own virtual machines that you can read up on Wiki, and there's information in the problem set spec about this. So really cool. We're using our own sort of servers that we can allocate, that we can use however many we want, depending on the demands in the class. They might be a little bit buggy this week. Do write on the bulletin board whenever that's the case, because David and Glenn are trying to, the sysadmins are trying to debug this, sort of make sure that it all goes smoothly. And if you ever you've been working on a problem set at like Thursday at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, and you've tried to move your cursor and it hasn't moved, or it's moved really slowly, that's because there were so many people on NICE at the same time. So now hopefully the course will be able to use more machines at the time so that this will be minimized. So it's always hard because everyone just always inevitably does it on Thursday at 3 o'clock in the morning, but hopefully we'll have better luck with that. So again, the distribution code that you're given the texts. So these are the texts that you're going to spell check, and they look a little funny. The PSET spec goes over this. They're called symlinks. So this text thing doesn't copy the text into your directory, because if it did, you'd be using a lot of memory to copy all of War and Peace and the whole Austin Powers script into your directory. So instead, it gives you a link, sort of, to the directory this is stored in. So it's something like distribution code, it's a pub share or something like that. It's a path that you'll follow to get to that, but you'll see that right when you copy. And this time we're copying not with CP-R, but we're copying with CP-A because of this. So be careful with that when you see it. But this has all gone through in the problem set spec, so I won't talk about it too much. Then you have spellers.c or speller.c, and you're not supposed to change anything in this file. So this is the file that calls on the functions that you will write in order to actually spell check a file and report your results. So what's cool about this problem set, and really fun, or frustrating, depending on what kind of person you are, is that you can compete on the big board, which is right now on CS50's homepage, to have the fastest implementation of a spell checker. So the goal isn't just to have a working spell checker, it's also a design problem set. So it matters how fast your spell checker is working, and it doesn't matter as much as correctness, of course, but there is a big board that ranks people, including staff, some staff that chose to participate, to see how fast they can implement the spell checker. So you can choose to opt into that, and speller.c will take care of all the things that need to be timed for this. So it'll time how long your program takes to load, how long it takes to unload, things like that, and how much memory it uses. So the main goal is to minimize time. So we're not worrying as much about minimizing memory, though we do invite you to minimize memory, because of course you don't want to be using up all the memory on your computer. So let's go. So then you have dictionary.h, which is just a header file like we've seen. It has some prototypes, some definitions, so look into that. So make sure before you even start, you've looked into speller.c and you've looked into dictionary.h thoroughly. Well, dictionary.h will take you a second, but speller.c should really be looked at, because it'll help you sort of understand, because they actually take the words of the text file and send them through the checker one by one, and you're going to need to take the words of the dictionary file and send them through your load function one by one. So it's a little bit similar, so you should look at that before you start. And then what you're going to be writing is dictionary.c. So right now dictionary.c just has the functions written. Don't change their declarations, so don't change the names of the functions and stuff like that, but right now there's really nothing in them. They all say like return false or something like that. So dictionary.c is where your work is. The make file looks a little different. It uses some variables, but it's functionally the same. You use it the same way. You can change it. You absolutely don't need to. The problem set goes through this as well. And then there's questions.txt again to familiarize you both before you do the actual problem set and after. So make sure that after you do the problem set, when you're about to submit, you also have to answer a couple more questions. So don't forget, because there are some questions after you've already made it about how you could have made your program faster and stuff like that. Let's go into hash tables. So does everyone understand what each function is supposed to do before we go on to that? Okay. So your options for implementing this are sort of, well, how can you implement a dictionary? How can you just have a dictionary of words that you're going to search through to see if a word is in it? What's a data structure you can use besides the hash table? So like the simplest one. What? So you can just have an array, right? You can just have an array of words. You can also have a singly linked list of words, and they just are all the words are just strung together, maybe in alphabetical order, maybe randomly, and that's sort of the simplest implementation of this. Now, don't do this. Don't do this. That's sort of the primitive way of thinking about this, and you guys are well equipped with much better skills to implement the dictionary. And I also don't think you're allowed to implement that kind of a linear search algorithm for this. So we're going to be looking at the two of the other options, which are hash tables and tries. Now I'm going to be focusing mostly on hash tables because I think that they are simpler to explain and simpler to implement. Though do know that tries involve less lines of code. So fewer lines of code for tries, but it's a lot more complex code and it's a lot more sort of thinking about the code before you write it, whereas hash tables are much more geared towards what we've been explaining to you guys thus far. So that's the method that I'm going to show you, and both are completely valid and both work and both can reach high on the big board. So if you're concerned about that. So the sort of graphical representation of a hash table, and like I said, I had a better one, but we resort to this now, is something like this. So let's say that these are our dictionary words, right? So we have apple, pear, peach, and yam. And we want to be able to store them in a hash table. Now this side, this is just the words that we're putting in, and this side is the actual sort of hash table. Now if you remember from lecture, a hash table takes an array, so that array will be indexed starting at 0, 1, 2, 3, etc. All the way down, and you want to be able to store your words inside of this array that's numerically sort of indexed. So you want to be able to take these words and somehow make numbers out of them, right? So one very simple way of doing that was discussed in lecture is what? How can you turn apple into the number 0? Right, so you take the ASCII value of its first letter. So its first letter is A, ASCII value 0. Well, once you subtract, right, you want to offset it so that you're starting at 0 because your hash table array is going to start at 0. So you want to make sure you offset that. And so this is the way that you would do it. You would take the A, offset it so it would be 0, and then you know to go to array bracket 0, right? So this sort of process to get from the word to the number is called hashing. So that's what we're doing in this case, and the way that you hash something is through your hash function. So one of the functions you're going to have to write that's not one of these, right, but you have to write it in order to be able to load in your dictionary and create this structure in memory, this data structure, is a hash function. So I believe that David wrote one in lecture, but we can write one now, right? So our hash function is going to return what type? Int, right? So int hash, and what did we want to do? Let's say it takes, what does it take? Char star, right? So I'm writing this in pseudocode, so I'm just going to write string, but you guys know that that's a char star. So it takes the string, and then inside, let's say that R is just going to return the first letter, right? The ASCII value of the first letter. So what you can just do is return, and then this is pseudocode, right? So this isn't real code, string bracket 0, right? I won't put the semicolon so that you know that it's pseudocode. So you just want to return string bracket 0, let's say minus 97 so that we're offset. Right, if it's a lowercase a, we'll get 0. And so now the result of your hash function tells you where to go inside of your array. Okay, so now if I wanted to put apple into the dictionary, I would go to array bracket 0 and put in apple. So apple's already been done, right? Let's do pear. As you can see, here there's a whole sort of structure holding apple. There's nothing to hold pear. So your first task is to make something hold pear. But to be fair, I drew this beforehand, but we also never created this array either. So let's create the array. And this is just very simple, like how you would always create an array, except that you need to consider what's going to be inside of this array. So that's why we have to actually kind of go backwards and first create something to hold the pear and then create this array, so that we know what type this array is, right? Because we need to know what it's holding to know its type. So pair, I'm going to tell you now, you're going to have to implement through the use of a struct, right? This thing right here isn't just what type is this, right? We don't have a type for it, really, because we have two things in it. We have a char star, and we have it's a null character. But what it actually is a null pointer. So this is a null pointer because this whole thing is a singly linked list, right? Because when you have a hash function, when you have a hash table, You need to resolve collisions somehow, right? So I have pear and peach here. They both, using our hash function, will end up at array bracket 15. But we can't put them both at array bracket 15, right? So we need a resolution to this collision. So one resolution is just, well, I'll go to 16. But what if something's there? And then how do you look it up? How do you know to go to 16? Things like that. It's much better designed to put it into a linked list. So right now, if I had another fruit with A, what's a fruit with A? Letter A. Apricot. Okay. So if I had an apricot, I would add it on here, right? And then I would make this pointer no longer a null pointer, but pointing to apricot. And then here I'd put apricot. And then this one would be a null pointer. But that's just going ahead theoretically. We'll actually go through the steps of the code, so don't worry. But back to pair, we need to store this in something that has two parts, that has the part for the char star and the part of a pointer to the next fruit in our linked list, right? But it's not a pointer to just the name of the fruit. It's the pointer to this whole data structure that's holding it inside of this linked list. So what can we use to create a new type that's not a string, that's not an int? What did we use in lecture? Struct, right. So we're going to create a struct that's going to hold the nodes of our linked list. So these are called, we're going to call them nodes. And this isn't something that exists in C. This is just the practice to call them nodes inside of a linked list. So how do we define a struct? Struct node. And if you define it as just struct node, you'll always have to refer to it as struct node. You won't be able to say node pointer. You'll have to say struct node pointer. So to get rid of this sort of hassle, we are going to type def it. So remember, type def is what does it do? What's its function? It aliases. Yeah, I heard aliases. So it aliases something. So we're going to use type def in order to alias these two words to just node. So down here we put node at the end of the type def. This means every time I write node, I'm actually referring to struct node. And what is struct node? We're going to define it right now. Okay? So what are the components of our node? If this is our node in memory that we want to create, what are its components? Right. So we have a char star, and let's call it word. Well, yeah, fruit in our case, but in the case of the general dictionary, let's call it word. And then what's the second part of our node? It's a pointer. A pointer to what? The next what? So it's the pointer to the next word, right? So I should put what? Char star pointer? Node pointer, exactly. So it's not... it's sort of confusing to think of it as a pointer to the next word or a pointer to the next fruit in our case, because it's actually a pointer to the next node. It doesn't just point to the fruit, the name of the fruit, it also points to the pointer that's in there, so it points to the whole struct that we've created called node. Now, the thing is, we'd like to refer to it as a node pointer, but the type def hasn't executed yet, so we still have to refer to it as a struct node pointer. Okay? So we have to put struct node pointer. And what's it pointing to? Next. So let's call it next. Great. So now we've implemented our node. And it has two parts. It has the word. And it has the pointer to the next word. And this is what we're going to be putting inside of our linked list. Right? So if I wanted to refer to the word inside of the node, let's say... Well, we'll get to it. Let's first define this array here, right? So this is the array that creates our hash table, right? That starts it off. And from here, we're going to have these arrows going out. What are these arrows? Pointers. Right. What are they pointers to? What type?
Node.
Right. So they're node pointers. Good. So now to define our array, how do we do it? Let's say we wanted to call it array. Yeah, good. So it's a node star. Let's do it down here. node star, and let's call it array. And then we have to actually tell it how long it's going to be, right? We have to decide in advance for arrays how long they're going to be. So we put it in square brackets, and there's actually a variable that's array size. Now this array, this is going to create this structure, this vertical thing that's represented here, and this struct is going to create each of the nodes. But you need to have the struct in order to define this, right? Because it's of type node pointer. Because everything in this array is going to point to nodes. Everyone understand that? Any questions about that? Now, a question would be, what do you make your array size? Right? So in our case, I guess we kind of have to make it 26 or 25. 26. We need to make it 26, right? Because we have 26 letters in our alphabet. But this hash function that we created earlier is not a very sophisticated hash function, right? Because if we have 100,000 words in our dictionary, each of these linked lists is going to be really, really long. And it's going to take a really, really long time to search through it. So your job is to come up with a better hash function than we did. So your job is to use more of the letters or something like that in order to make your hash function spread out your data more. So spread out your words more. So an ideal hash function, for example, would have one word at every point in the array. So if you were, that's like the ideal hash function. It's always impossible, well, it's pretty impossible to come up with a hash function that does that. So an ideal hash function when you don't know your data ahead of time. So if you know your data ahead of time, yeah, you can hard code things that would make it so that there was one word at every note, at every part of your array, at every index. But in your case, if you try to do that, you will get caught because the staff can try to run your code using a different dictionary. So you wouldn't have hard coded it. You wouldn't have known when you were hard coding, so all your hard coding would sort of fail. So you should know that the goal of the hash function is to spread out the data. So one way of spreading out the data, if you want to spread it out, right, greater than 26, you have to make your array size greater than 26, right? So a huge sort of give and take here is memory versus speed. So the greater your array size, the faster your code will run. But the greater your array size, the more memory you're taking up, right? To have more linked lists and to have more arrays and more pointers, okay? And the size, so the size of your array does matter. So think about that as a design trade-off, right? So that's sort of how we're going to create this idea of the hash function. One thing we need to do also as part of initializing our hash table is to make all these pointers point to what? Null, right. So we don't want these to be pointing to anything. So we want to go through at the beginning. One of the first things we want to do is make all these pointers point to null. And this is not only good practice so that you have good memory management and know where everything is pointing, but it'll also help you when you're trying to insert a word. Right, so you want to go through each element in this array with some sort of for loop and set each index, so array bracket I equal to null. And you literally write N-U-L-L in caps. And that'll take care of that. The other thing with array size is if we go back to our hash function, whatever our hash function computes using these letters, it's going to have to fit within the bounds of our array, right? Because you can't have if your array is only 26 letters, you don't want your hash function giving you a number like 30. Because then when you try to go to array 30, you're going to get a seg fault, right? Because you haven't created array 30. So you want to make sure, how do we make sure that things don't go over our limit? So sort of wrap around. Mod, right, so use the module operator. So at the end of your hash function, before we had something like return string bracket 0 minus 97, you're going to want to do mod array size, right? So you're going to mod by the array size to make sure that you're within the bounds of your array. So make sure you do that inside of your hash function. Okay. So now when you do this, you're going to use a little bit of file I.O. from PSET 5 in that you're going to have to open the dictionary that's given to you. So the load function, I believe, gets passed a dictionary. So it gets passed a pointer to the dictionary, right? And it's going to have to open this dictionary using fopen. So you did this in piece of five. It's going to be a file pointer, and you're going to use fopen. And then you're going to want to read this file through to the end, so there's no more words in the dictionary. So how have we been reading things through to the end of files? What do we check for? Yeah. Yeah, so while not FEOF, so file into file, you want to enter this loop. And this loop is where load is going to take place. So for inside this loop, for every word in the dictionary, you're going to want to do two things. You're going to want to create a node for it. So for every word, you create a node to store that word. And what's the second thing you have to do? We just sort of did it for apricot. What do you have to do? You have to create the node and then put it inside your hash table, right? Okay, so for every word, you create a node, and then that involves storing the word in the node, right? And then you put that node in the hash table at the right place using your hash function, right? So let's do this part first. Let's create the node. So let's say inside the dictionary I'm given the word pair. That's the first word. Well, one thing is, how am I going to know that pair is an entire word? Because you just have a text file, right? You just have a text file with a word, enter, a word, enter, a word, enter. So how do you know, how does the computer know that this is a word? Well, you have to read in one letter at a time. So how do we read in one letter at a time? Does anyone remember? So remember how you put the padding in PSET 5? What did you type? To put one pixel of padding, what did you type? Yeah, it was F put C. So can anyone guess the opposite of that? Not to write it out, but to... Yeah, exactly, F get C. So you want to use F get C. And it's going to... Right, so when you opened your dictionary, when you used F open, you presumably created a file pointer to your dictionary. So let's call that like D pointer, as in dictionary pointer. So what you want to do is get C from D pointer. Okay, and that's going to get you one letter. So you're going to get that letter, and you can read it into your word. Now, where is your word stored? We wrote it up before. I think we erased it. Where is your word stored? So you're going to have to malloc. How do we allocate memory? We malloc, right? So we're going to have to malloc what? What type are we mallocing? A struct, but we're not mallocing the struct, really. What's malloc going to return to us? What does malloc always return? Right, a pointer. So malloc is going to return to us a pointer to the node. So we are going to have, we have this D pointer, which is a file pointer. And we're also going to have what kind of pointer? Node pointer. Right, and so let's call this like our new node. And this one's going to use fopen, right? And this one's going to use what? Malloc, right. Right, so this one's going to use malloc what? What do we always do when we malloc, or almost always? Size of what? Size of what? Size of node, because it's a node pointer. Right, so we want the size of a node. We want malloc to give us enough memory to store an entire node, so the word and the null character. Now, inside your word, when you defined it, you also want to be able to keep track of how many letters it has. So here, you want to be able to make it an array, so you have the pointer to it, and you want to make it You want to actually be able to keep track of how many letters are in this word. So instead of using the char star notation that we used when we just basically defined the struct, now we want to be more specific so that we can refer to each letter in this word, because we'll need to here, right, to get in each letter and store it there. So what's the maximum length? Did anyone read the problem set spec and knows? Right, so it's 45, which is some crazy word that you actually have to answer in questions.txt what it means. But for our purposes, length, is that it? We just want length? Is that right? You should know from my tone that it's wrong. What's wrong with it? Why can't you just have an array of chars of the length for your word? What comes at the end of a word? Right, you need the null character, the null terminator of a word, to signify that it's the end of the word, so it's actually length plus one. Okay, so now we have how many chars are inside of our array of chars, which is our word, and in here we're going to want to store whatever we get from fgetc letter by letter into our word. And how do we refer to our word? If our node is called new node, if our node pointer really is called new node, how do we get to word and how do we get to next?
Node.word.
It could be, well, node.word would be a way, okay, so the way, if you want to use node.word, you actually have to dereference it, right? It'd be new node, right? Because that's what our node is called. Node is just the type. Right, node is the struct that we created, but the instance of that struct is called new node. Right, so it's the same way as there's a type int, but your int is called like int x, so you refer to it as x, you don't refer to it as int. It's exactly the same thing. You don't refer to your node as node, because that's just the general type, like int, like char. You refer to it by the name you gave it, which in this case is new node. So new node.word would, if you wanted to access that, since new node is a pointer, you have to first dereference the pointer. But don't write this down, because you don't need to do this, because there's a special way of doing this that dereferences and goes in inside the part of the struct that we want. That's simply new node arrow word. This is also so much more logical, right? Because you're actually following the pointer and it's an arrow. And that's so simple and so nice to deal with. So don't work with this. I mean, you can. It's not wrong. It's just so much simpler, and you'll get a lot less confused if you work with it like this. And I would recommend for these things to draw it out. So draw out what the hash table looks like, much like this. Draw it out with only a few dictionary words. And actually use these arrows and pointers to follow them to see where you're going. So new node-word is the entire word. But since we're reading in one letter, we're going to go to, let's say, a variable that we're incrementing. Right, so let's say we go to new node bracket, let's say L for letter. That looks like a one. Let's say C for char. So new node bracket C, and you increment C as you go, right? New node bracket C is going to equal whatever you get from this, right? Okay, so this is the letter, and this is where you put the letter. Okay, and then when this fgetc d pointer equals a new line character, that means you've reached the end of a word. Okay, so this is how the new line character is represented. Backslash n, that's the new line, means, and that means, since in our dictionary you have the word and then you have a new line, new word, new line, word, new line, that's going to mean that you're moving on to the new line. And when you reach the end of a word, signified by the new line character, what do you want to put in new node at that spot? What comes at the end of a word? The null character, right. So when you reach this, you want to put backslash zero, which is the null character, in single quotes. So both of these are in single quotes. So this is means the new line, and this means the end of a word. Okay, so you want to make sure that in every word, so new node, this should be word bracket C, right? I was writing over there and writing over here, so I forgot to actually include that. So here you have new node, you're dereferencing it and going to the part of that struct, that node struct, that is word. You're going to location C, which you're incrementing as you go. So presumably after you do this, you'll have C++ to increment C. And then you will put in at the last place in word, you'll put in the null character to signify that it's the end of the word. Okay? So that's sort of how you create the node for a word. Any questions on that, on just that? So like in the case of pair, right? We want to put in pair in our dictionary. So the first thing we're going to do is malloc the size of a node. So now we have space for a char star and for a pointer. And we want to put in the word pair. So so this is called new node at this point. This is word. And this is next. And so we want to put pair at word bracket 0. We want to put P at word bracket 0. We want to put E at word bracket 1, A, R. And then the null character, it means the end of a string. Okay, so that's what we've just done. That's what we've just done. And we still haven't touched this. We haven't done anything to the pointer part, which we're about to do. So now we want to put pair inside our hash table. So what do we do to it? First of all, how do we refer to pair at this point using our variables? Where is pair located? New node, just pair, not the whole node. Just the word pair. Where is it? I can't say it again.
New node word.
New node word, exactly. So new node word is pair right now. And what do we want to do with pair so that we can put it inside of our hash table? What do we want to do with pair?
Use our hash function
to find out where in the table it needs to go. So our hash function is just called hash in this case. So we're going to hash node error word. And that's going to get us an integer. Right, so we're going to store that in some int variable. Let's say it's called hash result. I'm running out of board space here. So let's say int hash result equals this. So now inside hash result, we have the place in our array we want to go. So how are we going to go to that place in the array? If our array is called array. Right, so array bracket hash result. Is the place in the array where we want to put this word. So let's work with pair. We want to put pair inside of the array. So let's say that the hash result is 15 for the first letter, which is P. And one of you guys told me that, so if that's wrong, it's not my fault. So we go to array bracket 15, and we want to put this node that contains pair in there. So what's there right now? What's there right now? A null pointer, right? So you check, is this a null pointer? And if it is, what do you want to do? If it's a null pointer, what do you want to do? If array hash result equals null, what do you want to do? What? Right, so you set this to point to the new node, right? Because we want to get rid of this null, right, and put in our new pointer that points to the node, right? So the way that we do that is we set this equal to our node pointer, right, which is what? What's the pointer to our node called? What's the pointer to our node called? We just mallocked it, right? When we wanted to make space for pair, we mallocked it. So what's it called? New node, exactly. So you make this store new node, because new node isn't the node itself, right? New node is a pointer to the node itself. Maybe we should have called it new node pointer. Okay, so the new node is a pointer to the new node, and we want to put that at array bracket hash result. We want to put this pointer to the new node. Okay? And this new node already has the word stored in it, but it has nothing in its pointer field. So what do you want to put in its pointer field?
Null.
Null, exactly. So how do we reach its pointer field to put null in it? Yeah, so it's new node arrow next. Right? New node arrow next. We'll get that. And I really, really think I've given you far too much code. But let's just go one more step. And now we want to put in peach. And peach hashes to the same thing as pair in our hash function. And you get there and you realize that the pointer is not null. So then what do you want to do? There's already something there. And what's our resolution for collisions? It's a singly linked list. So there's already one member in this list, so how do we add a member to either the end or the beginning? So you can choose whether to go through the singly linked list, checking each one if it's null, and then when you find the one that's null, which in our case is the first one, then add it on, or you can add it on right in the beginning where you're not going through the linked list. So that might be a little quicker. It might be quicker for the CPU cycles and better design, even though it might be easier for you to tack it on at the end. I don't know what's easier for you guys. So let's say we want to insert it at the front. Well, can we just take this and say, okay, now point to me, point to Peach now. Can we do that? No, because then what? We've lost pair, exactly, so tragic. So we don't want to do that, right? So we have to first make, so we have this, and now we have our peach. So presumably we've put the word in, but we haven't yet put anything in this pointer. And now this is new node, right? Because we're in the next iteration of this while loop that's going until the end, that's going while not end of file end of file. Right, of the pointer to the dictionary. So now we have this is new node now. So we want to make the pointer part of new node, this iteration, point to what? Right, exactly, to the old new node, but we don't care that it was new node. It could have been new node 10 cycles ago. It doesn't matter. What matters is that right now this is pointing to it. So you make this point to the same thing that this is pointing to. Right? So essentially, since this contains this array bracket, that's the hash result, right now contains a pointer to this node, and you want new node next right now to contain the same exact pointer, you set it equal to this. Everyone clear on that? So now they're both pointing to the same thing. Now you've ensured you'll hold on to pair. Now you can move this pointer over to Peach. Clear? How we're going to load the dictionary? So that's all for loading the dictionary. At the end, when you've loaded your dictionary, you want to make sure that you close the pointer to the dictionary. You want to close the dictionary file. Okay. Like in file IO PCIe 5, you had to, whenever you opened a file, you had to close it as well. Okay? Now, if every time you've put in a word in your dictionary, you've kept some sort of counter going, then you're also done with size, if that counter is somehow communicated to size by a global variable or something like that, then size is done. You just return the value of that global variable. So that's sort of the easy way to finish size when you've done load. So we've done load and size, so we're halfway done, right? So why don't we take our 5-minute break now? And then we'll do check and unload so that we can change the tapes. Okay, so I've cleaned up our diagram, and now we have what we've loaded into our dictionary. So let's pretend this is our entire dictionary. And actually what you should do when you're testing your load function and even your check function is work with smaller files than the ones we gave you. So work with small text files and small dictionaries. Don't try to import the whole, 100,000 word dictionary all at once because you're going to have to deal with so much memory if your code is buggy. You don't want to do that. So just have a small dictionary. So let's say this is our entire dictionary. These are all the correct words in the dictionary. So let's say now you're reading through a text file, which actually speller.c already does for you, and you need to look up the word pair. So the check function is going to take the word that you want to look up. So it's going to take pair. So you're already going to know that you have to look up pair. Now, if you want to look up pair in our dictionary, which is in this hash table, what's the first thing you have to do to pair? hash it so that you know where to look, exactly. So you call your hash function on pair, and you find out where pair is. But actually, the really first thing you want to do before you actually send it to your hash function is to convert all of its letters to lowercase. Because as the problem set spec tells you, if you have the letter foo in the dictionary is all lowercase. So even proper nouns, everything is in lowercase. So you want to make sure that all of your input that you're sending it is lowercase, because if foo in all lowercase is in the dictionary, then you can't say that F-O big O or F big O-O or big F-O-O are misspelled. Those are all correctly spelled, as would be F-O-O in all uppercase, right? So you want to make sure that you convert each one of these to lowercase. Okay, so you can't just convert the first letter of it. You have to convert every letter. So you're gonna have to have a for loop that goes through this word that you've been given, right? And you know how to do that because you've gone through a for loop of letters of words when you dealt with command line arguments. A lot of times in Caesar, Vigenère, etc. So go through each letter and use the command to lower to make it go to lowercase. So you want to make sure that all your letters are lowercase, and then send it to your hash function. Once you get your result from your hash function, you know that that's where you want to go in your array to look for it, right? So you're going to go to array hash result again, just like when you put it in. So this part is sort of the same. And you want to go to it, and let's say that we weren't looking for pear in this case. Let's say we were looking for banana, right? So we hashed up to here, and we got null, right? So is banana in our dictionary? No. So with the standards of our dictionary, banana is spelled wrong. So you actually return false, right? Or you don't have to return false at this point. You can return false after you exit the loop. But the fact that the node is null means that you haven't found it. But let's say the node isn't null, right? So we're looking at pair, and you get to array 15, and that's where you find a pointer, and you get to peach, right? So what do you have to do with peach? If you're looking at pair, you're looking for pair in the dictionary, right? So what do you have to do once you get here? Well, how do you know that this isn't pair? Right, so you have to string compare to make sure that peach isn't in fact pair. So whatever you're at this point, you have to compare them, right? So you follow the first pointer, and you want to see if you can't compare the node, right? You're not comparing nodes, you're just comparing what? The word portion of it, exactly. So I'm not going to write the code for this one because I wrote all the code for the last one, but it's very similar, right? So you go to the word portion of that node, and you string compare that with the word that's been passed through check, okay? And if they're not the same, then what do? Right, so you want to go on to the next pointer, but how do you stop, right? You can't just say, oh, then go on to the next one, then go on to the next one, right? You have to have some sort of loop. So what is your loop going to go through? While it's not null, right, but while what's not null? You have to have a variable, right, to store to temporarily at least store the pointer that you're at the moment, right? So in order to have this temporary storage for your pointer that you're at, you need to allocate memory for it, right? So how do you allocate memory? That's when you know you're a nerd. So you malloc to have enough memory for this, to have memory for the storage. And that storage is just going to hold the current pointer. So let's say what type is it going to be? What type is this variable going to be? It's not a node, right? Because we're not going to put the node in it. It's going to be a node pointer, right? It's going to be a pointer to the node, and we're going to use that node pointer. So first that node pointer is going to be this pointer, right? But then once we come here and we realize that this isn't exactly what we wanted, then this is going to become current pointer, right? This arrow right here. That's going to become current pointer. Then we're going to go here, and then this is going to become current pointer if this weren't pair. This is pair, but for argument's sake. If this weren't pair and we got to this pointer already, then we would see that this is our current node pointer, and that current node pointer is clearly null. So we're going to want to stop there, right, and return false. So you want to break out of your loop when the current pointer that you're following is null. Okay, so what kind of loop lends itself to this?
Like
A while loop, someone said. Yeah, so a while loop because you can check while current pointer that I've mallocked is not null, keep doing this. Once it's null, so you string compare if it's the same word. So if we actually got to pair and we're looking for pair, we string comp, they're the same, and we want to return true. Otherwise, we keep going until the current pointer is null, and at this point, we want to return false if we've broken out of that while loop. And that's all for checking. Is that clear to everyone? Okay, so we have one more task. We have to unload the dictionary. So because we've mallocked all this memory for all these nodes, we have to free all that memory. So what you want to do is go through in exactly the same way as you went through in check. So you start somewhere and you follow all the arrows. And for each current pointer, you free it. Right, so free every pointer that you reach. Okay, but make sure you get to them, right? Don't just make sure you free each one. You can't just free this whole array all at once, right? So that's what some people do, but then you get memory leaks. And you'll use this program, as the problem set spec describes, called Valgrind, to check for memory leaks. So if you get memory leaks, one of the reasons might be because you're not actually freeing every node that you've mallocked, right? So maybe you just freed this array. You actually have to free each individual node by getting to it. So you get to them, you free it, you free the one before, you free the one before, and then you free the whole array. Okay, and then this is also Boolean, so you have to return true at the end to signify that you've done it. And you have to run Valgrind then to make sure that you had no leaks when you ran it. And Valgrind will give you a lot of information, but ultimately it'll say something like number of, I don't know, it's something like memory leaked, amount of memory leaked or something like that, and you want to make sure that that's zero. So that's the hash table implementation. Any questions? I'm going to briefly go over the tries implementation, which we have right over here. So it's the same idea of a node, except this node contains different things. So the node isn't just what we use in linked lists that has a word and a pointer. It can be whatever struct you need at the moment. So a try in memory looks a little bit like this. Now, this is a rough diagram. There's a really good diagram inside the slides that I'll post on the website, so if you want to look at that, it's much clearer. But basically, the tries have two parts. So the first part is a Boolean variable, which checks if you've reached a word. The second part is an array of 27 pointers to nodes. I'm going to repeat that. So it's an array of called children that's size 27. 27 because we have 26 alphabetical letters, and then we have an apostrophe also in our dictionary. So 26 alphabetical letters and the apostrophe. So 20. It's an array of size 27. And what's stored inside the array? Pointers to nodes. Okay, so you have 27 node pointers stored inside of each node, right? So it's a recursive definition. But so is our node, right? Because we have pointers to nodes. So is our node from the hash table. So basically what it looks like is you have A through Z and you have the apostrophe, and you also have this Boolean that's, is this a word or not? So in the first, the root node is going to be like node star root, right? That's how you can refer to it. And that root will be, the Boolean will be false, right? Because you don't have a word if you have no letters. And then it's just going to follow pointers to letters. And when this Boolean says true, you've reached a word. So here I have A-P-E, and then the Boolean is true. So you have reached a word. But you can also keep going, right? Because some words are shorter, some words are short, but they're parts of longer words, right? So for example, apes, you can also have apes, right? So ape is a word, so that's true, but also apes is a word, so that's true. Okay, so the way, that's how you would sort of load that in. Every time you'd go letter by letter, same way that we did before. You'd go letter by letter and you'd create new nodes to store the next letter and the next letter and the next letter. And when you finished a word, so when you reached the new line character, the backslash n, in our other implementation, we put a backslash 0. Here, we're going to set the Boolean at the new node that we created. So it would be called node arrow is word to true. Okay? And so you want to follow those pointers all the way until the end of a word. And like I said, there's a better diagram of this in the slides. But then size is the same thing. So as you're loading, you keep track of the counter of how many words you loaded, and then you return that for the size. And for checking, you want to go follow from the first letter, follow all the pointers, and if you reach a Boolean that says true, by following the letters the way that they're put in the word that you're trying to check, like pair in our case, if you reach true, that means you found a word. So return true. And if you get to the end or your letters don't follow each other, then you haven't found the word, so that's not a word in your dictionary, so you return false. For unload, it's a recursive unload. So just like it's a recursive definition of the node, so you want to make sure that if the node has children, first free the children. If it doesn't have children, then free the node. Right, so we call this the children part of the node. So if the node has children nodes, so if it has more nodes coming out of it that it's pointing to, then free those. So you'd get to this one, you'd say, does it have something coming out of it? Yes. Does this one have something coming out of it? Yes. Does this one have something out of it? Yes. Does this one? No. So free it, then come back, free this one, then come back, free this one, then come back, free this one, and finally free the parent node. So that's how you free the memory in the try. So again, the try is a little bit more complex, and we went through them a lot less, but they do have some design benefits. So, and they are less code to write. So you can choose to do tries as well. Like I said, to help you, use Valgrind to make sure they freed all the memory. Use GDB to go step by step in your code to see what it's doing. Use pictures, literally draw out these hash tables or tries to see where exactly in memory you're storing things. These are very useful tools and they'll help you not be confused. And use a small dictionary to begin with and a small text file before you check. So once you've finished, hopefully you'll have enough time to sort of improve on your array size in a hash table and stuff like that to actually make your dictionary faster and improve on your design. But other than that, we're pretty much done unless there's questions. Okay, so we're going to finish up and then I'll stay back as always for questions. And do look at the slides on the website because I think they'll make things a little bit clearer. But thank you for coming. Good luck.